seat off of me in case I need to sit down. It's all this weird lighting as well. I'm convinced that I might actually fall asleep. And to be honest with you, when I was about 16 years old, I remember an evening service when I actually did fall asleep. And my pal thought it was funny, let me sleep right through the last closing song as well. So don't worry if you fall asleep tonight, I'm not blaming you. It's okay. Right, so for those who don't know me, my name is Connor McElwain. And I am part of the leadership team here, SBC. And if you haven't been coming along the last couple of weeks, or this is your first time here, just to explain what we're doing over the summer series is encouraging different leaders to share some of their story. I think I am week 3. So I'm gonna share a bit of my testimony with you tonight. And my prayer really is that as I speak and share, that maybe some of what I have to say resonates with you and you'll be encouraged by what you hear. We're really thinking about when grace appears, and so I want to share about when God really showed up in big ways in my life over the last number of years, and I hope it's a real encouragement to you as well. So, we're asked to also think about maybe a passage of scripture, maybe a verse or something that really means a lot to us, and I've picked out a short passage. You can look it up if you wish, but it's only a few verses. It's Matthew chapter 22. And it's verses 34 through to 40. So I'm going to read the passage just now, and then I'm going to focus in on just one of the verses in that passage. So, Matthew 22, 34. Just waiting for my iPad to load up here.
Are you assuming
that? Okay, so it says this. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And I'm going to come back to that verse 39. And what it says in the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. And kind of talk about why that verse has such significant meaning to me in terms of my life. Now, I don't know whether you would agree with me, but I feel like society today really encourages us to focus on ourselves. We have all this kind of stardom, celebrity culture through kind of social media. I know my son follows this guy and his son who on YouTube who do bottle flipping challenges. And that's been famous doing that. Or you get people who like to share their entire life story, including what they have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner on Facebook. We have this whole kind of culture where we're encouraged just to focus on ourselves, kind of just focus on what we want, what our desires are, and to forget about everybody else. Now, despite all that, I've got some very hard-hitting statistics that I want to share with you. The first one of this is all about mental health disorders such as anxiety and depression, phobias and post-traumatic stress disorder. It's affecting at least 1 in 4 of the population. The next one is 75% of all mental illnesses start before a child even reaches their 18th birthday. 75% of young people with a mental health problem are not receiving treatment. And I think a huge amount of three factors behind that are all to do with the stigma that is attached to mental health issues. Next one is suicide is a leading cause of death in young men and women aged between the ages of 20 and 34 in the UK. And the last one is this, 56% believe that anyone their age diagnosed to stop with children with a mental illness would be treated differently, and another 55% believe that they would lose their friends. As I mentioned, there's a lot of stigma attached to the whole issue of mental health. And the whole reason why I'm quoting all these statistics is because actually mental or depression is something that I've suffered really throughout my whole adult life. And so I want to share a bit of my story with you tonight on that. And I think sometimes you can quote statistics and it's very easy to be shocked by these, but then we soon forget them. But I'm hoping that sharing my own personal story with you as one of these statistics, I want to share about how grace appeared in my life and my situation. As I said, I've lived with depression pretty much most of my adult life, And at times it has felt to me a bit like a dirty secret, something that you would not want to share with anyone else. It's that whole thing about stigma that's attached to it. It's not like other sort of physical diseases or illnesses. It's very much a kind of very personal thing that people don't want to share. It's very unlike other illnesses where you'd be comfortable sharing about them. It's like what I mentioned earlier about the whole area of stigma being attached to mental illnesses that keeps a lot of people quiet. And I think at times we can be very reluctant as church to really talk about these things because it can feel uneasy, almost a bit of awkwardness as to what we might say or what we might ask to someone who maybe suffers these things, and also can make us feel really uncomfortable. So I really hope my prayer tonight that as I share with you is really twofold. One is for anyone who maybe can relate to my story, that maybe may be encouraged by hearing how God's grace has come into my life. And secondly, maybe for those of you who live with someone or know someone close to you who suffers from mental illnesses, how much you can be an encouragement to them. So I want to say share some of my own testimony now. You don't wake up just one morning and realize you're depressed. It's always a backstory. I'm going to try and give you the kind of high version of it because I know we don't have a lot of time tonight. But I want to share just a bit of my backstory with you. And kind of explain how kind of where I've got to in terms of this point. And it really kind of stems right back to my childhood. Some of you may have been here the back end of last year when we had a series on what grace means to us. And I shared during that series as well. And I mentioned that evening service that I had some adverse child experiences. That's what the technical term is used these days. For children who have had different experiences as a child. But sadly, as part of my childhood, I was entrusted in the care of people who used that opportunity to abuse me as a child and had left a real shadow on my life, almost a sense of just shame that somehow it was all my fault what happened, and didn't want to ever talk about that with anyone. And it really kind of affected me right through my kind of teenage years, where my whole still sense of self-esteem, my whole kind of how I felt just about myself was just in a really dark place. And that kind of continued really into my kind of adult life. And those memories that kind of just don't ever go away would just cause me to kind of almost be like, imagine a kind of whirlpool being pulled further in, or like a black hole being sucked in, where you just go deeper and deeper into sort of a really dark place. So much so that it had a major impact on my relationships with my wife, my children, and really quite destructive, I would say, in terms of that. And it got to a kind of really sort of dark point where really all I could do was just sort of cry out to God. And thankfully, and it's always for me the first step, and for anyone who has suffered anything like this, to actually share it with someone. Because as I said, often it's very much like a secret. You just don't want to mention or share with anyone. It's just too hard to share it. But actually, that was the kind of the first step for me on the kind of where God took me on from one path and set me on a new path. The most significant moment, I would say, because it's not a case of an overnight fix. I'm on a journey. It's a process. It's not a process that has come to an end. It may be something that I have to live with my entire life. I don't know. It's maybe a wee bit like what Apostle Paul shared about the thorn in his flesh. For me, that might be my thorn in my flesh. But as I said, it's a process that really started, and the major significant event that took place was when I was going through a period of Christian counselling, which had a dramatic impact on me. And we were just talking about things, and it just made me realise, and it's going back to the verse that I read there in Matthew, where it talked about loving others as yourself. Well, what I realized was, if I can't even love myself, how can I love others? It was like a light bulb moment. It's like, I am almost redundant. I have literally got nothing to give to others if I cannot even accept, as it were, myself. And that was the kind of the starting point for me on this journey. And what I began to realize was that actually I could either let all my past experiences define me, or I could let God work in his incredible power to shape me, to use those experiences, but to be able to use those experiences to actually maybe bring about some good, to be able to share, like I'm doing tonight, some of my story that it might actually help others to realize that actually that God is greater than anything that we can ever experience. And that's what I want to really encourage you to realize tonight, is that God is an amazing God, and God loves us so much and does not want us to be in that place. He wants us to have that joy, that life, life to the full. And so at that point, I realized that if I was going to be of any use to anyone, if I'm going to let God use me, then I had to begin to really process everything that happened and begin to just accept what has happened and be able to actually move forward myself. You know, it's we kind of talk about, you know, it's important to recognize our limitations or weaknesses and let God work in those, but it's another extreme when you just feel so useless you can do nothing, and actually you are of no use to God in that situation because you can't do anything. Whereas I was certainly at that point, and I realized that actually if I was going to let God work in my life, I was going to let God use me for his glory, that I had to start to believe that actually, you know, God can change the situation for me. And so that's what he began to do through that whole process. Now that process has been going on for a number of years, and as I said before, it's not something that's really ever come to an end. It may never come to an end. There's always highs and there's lows, points where, you know, I've had to maybe even seek medical help and receive medication just to kind of help. I feel like the signs now when things are starting to go wrong, and you can identify those signs. And I've got people in my life who I can share with, that God's put in my path, to be just stand beside me and stand with me through all of this, and they know the signs and they can spot the signs too. And so you can react to it rather than just letting it, because fester, and as I said, that idea of kind of drawing you in and sucking you into almost a sense of a black hole in terms of my experience. And so really, as I've been sharing, I said, my prayer is that for some of you, what some of my story may resonate with your own experience. And I want to encourage you tonight that actually that God is bigger than any sort of situation or any experience that we've ever had to face. And he has something better for all of us. He wants to put us on a path and a towards a kind of finish point where, you know, we can be obviously one day with him in heaven. But during that journey, that God has things in store. And that's what I have experienced. God has been gracious to me in so many ways. It has not hindered me to the point where I've been feel like I've been rendered useless, that actually I can, God can use me, and I hope that even sharing tonight, that God's using me tonight just to be able to speak into people's situations. And he has put people in my path, but he's also given me a beautiful family. I had the joy today of walking around Carnoustie Golf Course, which is, on a sunny day like today, is absolutely awesome. Because he just loved playing golf, and I just love being on a golf course with my son. It's just wonderful to have these kind of experiences, and be able to enjoy family, be able to enjoy life, and not be one of those statistics that I shared earlier on about the whole area of kind of suicide and things like that. And that's why I feel it's so important, you know, to be able to share, to feel it's okay to share, and for others to realize that it's actually okay to share with someone, because actually keeping it to yourself is never going to, you're never going to be able to turn that around. You need others with you. So I say initially to those of you who say have had maybe some experience or all experiences that have affected you in a similar way, to want to really encourage you tonight to say to you that, you know, that God, through God's grace, he can change your situation. But also to those who maybe, you know, I say have a family member or someone they're close to you who know who have suffered from some form of mental illness, to be able to stand with them. And actually, social media isn't all bad. I actually came across a quote the other day on Facebook. I go on Facebook a little bit, but you know, I was late earlier on. But I came across this, which is actually quite good, and I thought, I think I'll share with us tonight. So it was talking about this whole area of holding space for someone. It says, what does it mean to hold space for another person? So read what it says. It means that we are willing to walk alongside another person in whatever journey they're on without judging them, making them feel inadequate, trying to fix them, or trying to impact the outcome. When we hold space for other people, we open our hearts, offer unconditional support, and let go of judgment and control. And I have to say that that's been my experience of those folk who have been put in my life, that God, through his grace, has put in my path, who, you know, sometimes we feel like, I don't know what to say to someone, if they would share that with me, or how to help them. But actually, sometimes it is just be standing with someone. Do you know, we're very good at judging ourselves, I can assure you that, and putting ourselves down. So we don't need someone to say anything that's going to judge us, or put us down, or make us feel inadequate, or even try to fix us. That's actually not a good, helpful thing either, trying to give a solution. My wife at times used to try and give me a solution that wasn't helpful. All I needed her to do was just stand with me through even the most difficult times. And I'm very thankful to God that he has put someone like her in my life who can stand in even the darkest times, but also just be able to open their hearts and just offer that unconditional support and love, and say letting go of any sense of judgment or wanting to try and control the situation. So if you are someone who is aware of or knows people in your life that have had those kind of experiences, and you know that they do suffer at times to manage or to cope with sometimes those memories and feelings, that really just want to encourage you tonight to be able to stand with those people, because trust me, it makes all the difference in the world. So as I said, I hope some of what I've shared has been of encouragement to you. I have to be honest, when David first asked about sharing and so forth, I was in two minds, because I was not sure I was brave enough to stand up and talk about these things, but really through God's grace tonight I am standing here and I am sharing the things. So I think it's wonderful opportunity just for people to realize that, you know, even someone who, you know, is supposed to be in church leadership, that they're, you know, we're all human. You know, as Christians, we're not immune to this whole thing of mental illness, so we shouldn't shy away from it or hide from it or think it's something that we cannot talk about. But actually, it's really important, I think, to remove that stigma, as it were, is attached to these things, and be able to share with one another about these things. So I really want to encourage you that if there is things in your life that you have been struggling with and you have kept them to yourself, tonight maybe to think about someone you feel confident enough in and close to that you could just open up to and start sharing. Because for me, that was the first step on my journey and in terms of process of coming to terms with this whole issue, was to be able to sit down and actually share with someone how I was feeling, and not to feel ashamed. I know that I know that God loves us so much that he wants to be able to change that situation, but we need to be able to let him do that and not kind of just keep it to ourselves. So I really want to encourage you that's for you to take that away as a practical thing to go away and do and share that with someone and start that journey or that process. But also, if you're someone who, as I said before, you know, is aware of someone in their life that they are close to that has these kind of issues, for you just to be an encouragement to you, just to know, just to stand with them. If you ask my wife, she'll tell you it's hard at times, but that's where God's grace comes in, and you know, it makes all the difference to the person. So maybe we could just pray together just now. Father God, we thank you that we can only come in your love and in your grace, and that, Father, that we are accepted because of the death of your Son Jesus on the cross. And Father, I thank you for giving me the kind of confidence to be able to come up tonight and just share some of my own story. And Father, I pray that, Father, that you would use my words to speak into other situations. And Father, for some tonight, maybe there is things that they do struggle with and have kept up to themselves, that, Father, that you would give them the boldness, the confidence to kind of to find that person or people that they can come alongside and they can share some of their story with, Father, and they can be an encouragement to them. And Father, for others who have at times felt uncomfortable, uneasy, awkward, not sure what to say, Father, to people who they know suffer, Father, from mental illness, or that they would be able to just stand with them. They don't necessarily need to have anything they need to say or share, but just to be that person standing with them, walking in that journey, Father, with them. So Lord, I just give you thanks for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.